John the Baptist prepares the way, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching and baptizing of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole of Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt round his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of those sandals I am worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Everybody's organized. Well, it's lovely to be with you and to be able to open up this passage that Helen read to us from Mark chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, that's a good place to be as we get into this passage. And basically, that's the message, the gospel, the good news, because that's what the word gospel means. The good news is Jesus. It's all about him, and what we're going to be seeing is how Mark helps us to understand that. Now, I know what I've done. I pressed the wrong button. That's the way we go. So that's how it begins, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And, all right. I'm going to have a bit of a struggle seeing that. I wonder what's happened. Basically, what I think happened here, I am going to struggle because I need the bits that I can't see. What it says up at the top is that the good news, the beginning, has a beginning, which is really quite important for us to see. You know, we start at the beginning. This is the beginning in Mark's gospel, but there are roots for this beginning of the good news. The beginning has a beginning. And he says, as it's written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord." The good news has a beginning in the Old Testament scriptures. That's looking great. Thank you. Superb. Because one of the things I've got used to doing is not bothering about notes. I just use what's up on the screen because that's what reminds me what's going on using it. And, you know, as you know, I could preach for a long time without notes. But if I want to try and keep it short, I need to stick what's in the script. So the beginning is the beginning, and the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah is something that we read about in the scriptures. It's rooted in the Old Testament. This message, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Now, one of the things that if you try and find this bit, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way," and you look in Isaiah the prophet, which is a big book. If you start at the beginning of Isaiah and read all 66 chapters, you won't find that. You have to keep reading on until you get to the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. We'll come back to why he says that this is to do with Isaiah in a minute. But let me read to you from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, where we say, read this: "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Malachi, last book in our Old Testament, talks about my messenger who will come, and then the Lord will come. So the messenger comes and then the Lord will come, and the Lord normally means God. So God will come, but it's God who is the messenger of the covenant. What's all that about? And so you read on in Malachi, and you read nearly the last words. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And when you read about Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 1, the thing that stood out about Elijah was how he dressed. He wore a garment of hair with a leather belt around his waist. We know that because the king was asking, now, who was it who came? Well, he's wearing a garment of hair with a leather belt around his waist. He said, must be Elijah. And when John the Baptist appeared, he dressed with a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. It was a big, big clue. This could be someone like Elijah. Could this be the Elijah that is talked about who will come before the day of the Lord? The one who comes as a messenger preparing the way for the Lord. I'm not sure if John even realized that's who he was. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. But Jesus later on said, no, Elijah's come. It was John the Baptist. He was the one who had come to prepare the way for the Lord who would come after him. John, like Elijah, was preparing the way for the Lord. And then Jesus came. Our passage leads into this. Here it is, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Malachi said that the messenger would come, Elijah preparing the way for the Lord, who is himself the messenger of the covenant, the one who'd bring a message of a new relationship with God. And John comes, preparing the way, baptizing in the desert. And he baptizes Jesus. And something that didn't happen with anyone else. Everybody else got baptized. That means they got wet. But when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended on him like a dove. He saw heaven opened. The voice was heard. Don't know who heard the voice, but it was a voice declaring, you are my Son. The voice of God. The beginning has a beginning, but it's preparing the way for the Lord. The beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, declared by God, you are my Son, at his baptism. But Mark actually intends us not just to read about Isaiah, about Malachi. In a sense, that's obvious. This bit about the messenger, you're supposed to look that up. But read about Malachi's message in the context of the message of Isaiah. And of course, Isaiah is the great good news prophet of the Old Testament. There's so much about the good news in Isaiah. We'll read about it, of course, this Christmas time, as we always do. the message about Emmanuel, God with us, the one who would be born of a virgin, the one who would be the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We read it every year, don't we? That's all part of the good news of Messiah. And we get all of that in the first part of Isaiah. But when you come to the second part, Isaiah chapter 40, this is what we read. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And what Mark is doing is saying, read about this messenger that's mentioned in Malachi and put it together with the fact that he's not just John the Baptist, he's John the Voice. I'm pretty sure that's what they would have called him in Wales anyway. You know, like Tom Jones, he's Tom the Voice. Well, this is John the Voice, because what he was doing, yes, baptizing, but he was the messenger with a message. He's speaking out this good news, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we're supposed to take these two prophecies and put them together, and they come in, you know, with two lights to really light up. This must be it. This must be the one who has been prophesied. And it's a message of comfort after the exile. The first part of Jerusalem, first part of Isaiah rather, is saying how God's people are going to go into exile. And then in the second part of Isaiah, it looks beyond that to the time of them being brought back from Babylon into the land. And it's a message of comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that our hard service has been completed, that our sin has been paid for, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The message is that Israel's paid her dues. She's served her time. The time of exile's over, and God's going to bring his people back. But it's not just that his people are going to come back. It's like God himself is going to come back and presence himself among his people. The return not just of Israel, but the return of God himself to Jerusalem. And Isaiah tells us that this is good news. In fact, it's Isaiah and in this chapter that we start to have this word that the old version put as gospel, good news. It's used really for the first time here in Isaiah, where we read this: you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Do you see what Isaiah is saying? That though God's people have been taken away into a foreign land, they'd lived there for 70 years as refugees, but God is going to bring them back. And more than that, they can look forward to God really being with them among his people. And the prophecy about God who is coming is that he will be both a mighty king and a tender shepherd. And of course, we see those pictures in the Old Testament, don't we? Because it says so often in the Bible, the Lord reigns. Who's the King of Kings? It's God. He reigns in heaven. But we also know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And when Jesus comes, he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is a tender shepherd who cares for his sheep. But he is also the mighty king. That's Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? Jesus. He shows us who God is. Yes, mighty in power, but using all that power to care tenderly for his lambs. He is mighty and he is for us. And that is good news. Declare this good news, this gospel, this good news. And the beginning of the good news has a beginning in the Old Testament. Because the prophecy is, look out for the messenger. Because when the messenger comes, who's like Elijah, who's in the desert saying, prepare the way for the Lord, who's coming next? Well, the Lord's coming. And who's the Lord? It's Jesus. This is the one, and amazingly, this tender Jesus is also the mighty King. Jesus is God's anointed King. That's what the word Messiah or Christ, because Christ just comes from the Greek and Messiah just comes from the Hebrew, but they both mean the same thing, that he is the anointed king. Just like we had at the coronation, remember, not that long ago, King Charles was anointed, because that's what we still do with kings. And it was a sign of the Spirit of God being upon the ruler to do his work, to reign under God's anointing, the anointed king. And of course, in the Old Testament, we read the story of how, you might remember, Saul was the first king, and he was tall and good-looking, and he was strong and mighty, but he went off the rails. And God sent Samuel to look for another king who would be after God's own heart. And he was sent to Bethlehem. See, because God was preparing the way to Bethlehem. And he was told, now, go to Jesse's house, and one of his sons you are to anoint as king. And he, first of Jesse's sons came in, he was a big, strong guy, this must be him. Nah. Another one's brought in, he looks just as tall. No, didn't want any of Jesse's sons. Went through the lot of them. Have you got any other sons, Jesse? Oh, well, that's the little one. He's out looking after the sheep. And they all bring him in. And there was David. And Samuel knew from God, this is the one. And there he anointed him to be the king. And of course, we know that it was David who became the king. And God said to David, you know how I had to get rid of Saul? Well, I'm going to give you a kingdom that will last forever. Yes, if your sons disobey me, and even great David's greater son, Solomon, he went off the boil. The sons who came after him, well, they led God's people into sin and he had to send them into exile. But God hadn't forgotten his promise. There was going to be a king from David's house who would be born in Bethlehem as a sign that he was in David's line. and he will reign forever. His kingdom will never end. So when Jesus comes as God's anointed king, it's the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. You know, Christ is not just his second name. It's who he is, God's anointed king. And that's the good news. And it will click. But this is just a beginning. If you really want to read the good news that Mark gives us, you need to read through the whole gospel, because it's full of good news. And in fact, Mark is the gospel who uses the word gospel more than other gospels. So you want to know about the good news, Mark's the one to read, because you can read about and look for good news, because it's going to give you some clues to what he's about. Read, it's a very short gospel, but read it through, because it's a good news book. And this is what we read just in that first chapter. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. It's God's good news. And when you think about God, think good news. Because God, yes, he is mighty and awesome, but he is full of love. Because God is love. He cares about us. The time has come, he said, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near, because Jesus, God's anointed king, had come near. Repent and believe the good news. Mark's gospel begins with this good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it goes on and tells us the good news. And in a real sense, Mark's gospel is a gospel without an end. Let me read to you the last words in Mark's gospel. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body after he had been crucified and buried. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's where Mark's gospel ends. At least Mark's gospel as we have it. And of course, lots of people thought, well, that's not the end. And so the added bits, there's a short ending and there's a long ending, which brings together other stories from elsewhere there. But Mark's gospel as we have it, that's where it ends. But it gives you the sense of it's only just the beginning. Because Mark's gospel begins with these words, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that is the beginning, but in a sense, the beginning is a beginning because it goes back into the roots in the Old Testament. So it is the beginning because this is it. It's starting now, what has been prophesied. And then Mark's gospel goes on and says, this is the good news about Jesus and how he came and all the mighty things he did to show that he was the Son of God. And then how he died for our sins so that we could have peace with God because he's the Prince of Peace. And he didn't just die, but he rose again. And he's still alive. And he's coming again. And he's going to meet with us and change our lives, because all of Mark's gospel is just the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. It's still good news that goes on today until Jesus comes again. This is how the Apostle Paul wrote at the beginning of Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the good news of God, the same language that Mark uses. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, God's son, the son of God, descendant of David, the Messiah, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was always God's Son, but he's declared to be the Son of God in power by resurrection from the dead. This is the good news of God. It's not just illness that we need to know that he has defeated. It's death itself. And one day, just as he was raised with resurrection bodies with a resurrection body that had no limitations, he could just turn up, couldn't he? Marked with the marks of the nails, but a risen body. So we will be raised up with resurrection bodies where there will be no sickness and no death. And we look forward to that day with confidence. It's good news, the good news of God. And it's good news for us. Because right now, we have peace with God through the death of the Lord Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. We can have confidence in this good news working out in our lives and in our hope. It's good news. It's the good news of God. It's the good news for us that the promised Messiah is Jesus, the Son of God. That's what we've been thinking about, just unpacking that verse. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The good news is Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that as we trust in you, as we turn from our sin, as we repent and believe the good news, we have peace with God through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.